Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello there, listeners. My name is Doran Rosenfeld, and I'm your host for this evening. And I wanted to talk about what happens to our lives following a brain trauma. Sometimes we get what is expected to happen, and sometimes we do not. I am thinking about this because I'm currently writing a book about my particular experience. I mean, it's covering the last 40 years since I've had my brain injury, and there's kind of been some unexpected things that have happened. I want to talk about that tonight. I'll read my introduction as a way of introducing myself and what we're going to talk about tonight. Your host, Dr. Doran Rosenfeld, D.C., will be talking about navigating our lives following a brain trauma. There are expected changes after TBI, and some unexpected ones as well. I can talk about my own experience, and everyone's is different. I'm in the process of writing a book. The book is called My Guardian Angel Has a Sense of Humor, because I believe we always get what we ask for, whether it's really what we wanted or not. As I've written, we often beg for an immediate solution when something's going on that we simply do not understand. We say, oh, I need an answer. I need some help. When we have several things going on in our minds at the same time, it's hard to remember what specifically we asked for a solution. We might very well get everything we ask for, in spite of just the one we ask for. Kind of like when you take any medication, you get the side effects you want and all the other effects of that medication, whether we want them or not. It's impossible to actually know what's going to happen. But there are some expected physical symptoms following a brain injury. The brain swells and sends out the alarm chemicals immediately following a trauma. That's more bleeding or short of oxygen. But the brain's sending out signals. These signals cause inflammation and swelling. That inflammation and swelling can last for weeks, months, or years, depending on the severity of the trauma. The swelling then causes the symptoms we see. As everyone in this community and others know, that there are other symptoms as well. Medical imaging tests cannot show what's going on inside the mind. Several years following my trauma, I knew I was different, but the MD said that everything looked normal. Well, that kind of tells you about medical diagnosis. The diagnosis is for the MD, not the patient. No one cares what the patient thinks or feels or does. There are usually complicating factors, such as mental and psychological changes, but they are not officially diagnosed. There are changes wrought by the medications we take, so nothing is the same afterwards, nor is it guaranteed. And I reached out, I said, if anyone's ever talked to you before, or anyone just had a brain injury listening, I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk about your particular experience, I want you to call in 424-243-9540. That's 424-243-9540. Once you dial that number, press 1. I'm in the studio right now, and I'll see your number pop up with a question mark beside it. And I'll know that you would like to say something. Otherwise, I'll just talk. I'll just talk about how we always get what we ask for, even if it's not really what we want. Because when I was in my accident, I mean, I don't remember what happened. I was in a coma right away. I was in a coma for the next 3 weeks. Then I had no short-term memory for the next 3 more. I spent a year and a half in a head injury hospital because my head injury was so severe, and I was in the National Peace Corps when this happened, so they just threw me in a hospital. There used to be hospitals for the head injury population. However, President Reagan, if you guys all remember him, he wanted to close those hospitals. Well, now the head injury population doesn't necessarily have anywhere to go. I hate to say it, but they often end up in prison because they do stupid things that they don't even think about. And they can get care in prison. And often people are so poverty-stricken, they can't get care in real life. Turns out a lot of prisoners have been brain injured. That's probably part of their problem. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But people don't ask to go to prison. That's what I mean. You might get what you ask for. People might ask for a doctor to see them, an environment where they feel comfortable. That environment might end up being prison. So it's not what you ask for, but then it is what you ask for, because you want it to be taken care of. I'll just mention a patient I saw in clinic. I went to chiropractic school following my brain injury because chiropractic had helped me so much. And while I was in clinic, we saw local patients in the Northern California area who needed a cheap chiropractor. And The students had a chance to practice on real people. So that was a good thing. Well, I had a specific patient. She begged me to help her, but not help her too much. Because she had epileptic seizures. Often that comes following an accident. But she had epileptic seizures, and she'd been on disability her entire life. She was in her 20s or 30s, and she wanted me to help her, but she asked me to please not to get rid of her epileptic seizures. Because if I got rid of her epileptic seizures, she'd no longer have a reason to be on disability. And because she'd been on disability her whole life, she had no idea how to function in the real world. Because she couldn't function in the real world, she didn't want me to make her totally better, so she had to go out and navigate the real world. She wanted to stay in the disabled state and get help. Well, that's something that I could never understand, because I wanted to get better. That was my main thing. My main speech. I was arguing with the doctors in the hospital all the time. I was telling them, I know I'm going to get better. Well, they didn't believe it because no one in that hospital had ever gotten better before. But I told them, I'm going to. Well, it turns out I'm the only person who was ever released from that hospital into my own care. Other people went to long-term care facilities, or their parents, or other relatives, but no one got out to continue on with life the way I did. So the hospital did not know how to deal with someone who got better, because that hadn't happened. I mean, I had a pretty severe head injury, but I knew I was going to get better, but none of my diagnoses reflected that, because the hospital simply had no frame of reference. So it was my job to prove to them how a person gets out of the hospital. So I decided the best way to do that was to continue on with academia. Since I finished college, I was planning on going to medical school. So I was planning on a lot of schooling. So I decided I was going to take a break from that, and I joined the U.S. Peace Corps. While I was in Belize, Central America, I was walking and hit by a tortilla truck. How many people do you know who can say, I was hit by a tortilla truck? That's why I was in the coma in the hospital for the next year and a half. I was just trying to learn how to walk and talk in the hospital. Well, I had therapy most days, and I was learning how to walk because I had no balance, no coordination, no anything. So they got me up there for a couple hours a day to practice, to see how much I could advance. Well, I started out lying in bed, full right side paralysis, in a wheelchair. Well, that paralysis has left its mark. My right side is a lot slower than my left side. And of course, I'm right-handed. So I continued to write with my right hand, but everything else I did with my left hand. So people often think I'm left-handed now because I do most things with my left hand. That's just because it has better stability. I can control it better. But my whole right leg, right arm, it was all paralyzed. So I had to learn to get used to putting some muscles, some force into what I was doing. Well, I eventually learned how to walk again, and I eventually learned how to talk again. Because at first, I really couldn't speak because I had so much trauma to my brain. Well, while I was the stage up from a wheelchair, while I was in a walker, I decided that I had to show the hospital that I could handle life. Since I was in the academic train, I decided, since I was in Boston, Massachusetts, that I would take public transportation from the hospital to Boston College. While there, I would take a course. So I signed up for a graduate level course in brain function. Well, as I say in my book, I would have loved to see myself then. There I was in a walker, hobbling onto the bus. The bus stopped right in front of the hospital I was in. I walked outside, sat down at the bus stop, and waited for the bus. The bus came, lowered the step so I could get on, and I sat up front about 20 minutes or so to Boston College. Then when I was there, I went to the classroom and I took the class. I ended up doing very well in the class. I think I got an A or something. The hospital expected me to fail. Then it would prove to me that I couldn't continue on with life. However, I obviously could continue with some aspects of life. And I proved it to myself unequivocally. Then I thought, I'll just show the hospital. So I showed them my transcript. Well, they had never had anyone succeed in anything before. So they didn't know how to handle it. And they told me, that's not good enough. Okay, so what was my next step? Well, I wrote to the President of the United States, who at that time was Ronald Reagan. I wrote to the directors of the Peace Corps from Central America, from Belize where I'd been, and I wrote to the principal of the high school that I'd been teaching in. All of these people wrote back to the hospital and to me and said, yeah, she's obviously better. Let her go. Well, I don't know how they knew anything. but I could put two words together to write a sentence and a letter to them. So obviously I could handle myself to some degree. Well, I didn't realize how damaged I in fact was. The hospital said, okay, we're sick of arguing with you about everything, and they arranged for my release. Well, once I got out of the hospital, I had to figure out what I was doing, where I was doing it, and how I was doing it. Well, I signed up for the United States Peace Corps for 2 years. This happened after I'd been there a couple months, so I hadn't really been there. Well, I had my heart set on going down to Belize and doing my job. Well, as I say in my book, I don't know how effective a volunteer in fact was. But I managed to teach the students. Initially, I was teaching the high school students chemistry. And they'd obviously gotten a replacement chemistry teacher, so now I was teaching them biology. Okay, well, I couldn't write fast enough. I still can't write fast enough. That's one of the holdovers from my accident. But I managed to put a few things on the blackboard. But I conducted experiments and taught a year of biology class. That was a lot of fun, and I learned a heck of a lot in Belize. The main thing I learned in Belize was that I can navigate my life on my own. Turned out my next door neighbor saw me and suggested that I go with her to see her chiropractor. There was one chiropractor in the country of Belize. And she used to go every 2 weeks. I figured, sure, I'll go with you. Why not? This is a third world country. I'd never been to a chiropractor before. Well, that was quite an eye-opening experience. He helped me so much that I continued to see him for the next year that I spent in Belize. And how did he adjust me? Well, it's funny. After watching me walk, he told me to get down the floor, and he had me practice crawling. The right arm with the left leg, and then the left arm with the right leg. Because that cross-crawl patterning was crucial to brain coordination and brain function. And by doing that, I improved my balance, my coordination, and just about everything else. It was still early on after my accident, so I can only improve things to a certain degree. I mean, since I've gone back home in the last, 30 years, I've been working out steadily in the gym, doing balance exercises, because why not? They help other people with their balance. I need help with my balance. Maybe they'll help me. Well, they have helped me a great deal, but I still could be mistaken for a drunk person trying to walk, especially now that I've regained my driver's license about 15 years ago. I gave it up after my accident when I started having epileptic seizures. And I decided after I got rid of the epileptic seizures, it was time to drive again. Well, I had no experience driving. I was like your basic 16-year-old kid. And I was doing it. And it was helping me get around. But I waited until I was done with my seizures. Because my seizures came on unexpectedly at any time in any situation. I was constantly being hauled to the emergency room. From when I graduated school, I started getting seizures at the end of chiropractic school. And they continued for the next 15, 20 years while I was looking for a solution to stop them. Well, everyone has different kinds of seizures. It turned out my seizures were catamenial seizures, the kind of seizures that were tied to the menstrual cycle. Whenever my hormones went out of whack, twice a month, I would get a seizure. Well, the last doctor I had figured that out on his own. And he asked me, do you want to get rid of your seizures? And the trade-off was I had to take birth control pills for the rest of my life. But in taking the birth control pills, I was able to control my hormones. And I had no more seizures. Well, I gave it 10 years. Then I figured, okay, I started driving again after I went through menopause. Well, all my problems weren't solved because 5-10 years after that, I realized I started having partial complex, or started having partial seizures, the kind where you space out. You don't have a major tonic-clonic seizure. You just kind of absence. You're absent. Another name for these is absence seizures. You kind of have a seizure where you're kind of out of it for a few seconds, and you never even realize it's going on. Well, that wasn't real good for my driving. But I finally figured out what was going on. And about 10, 15 years following getting off medication, I went back on it. Because that medication, not the birth control, but I was taking seizure medication, one seizure drug along with it, Keppra. And for me, that did the job. Now I take Keppra twice a day and everything's fine. I just remembered now it's time for me to take it again, so I better take my evening dose of Keppra. And taking the Keppra, no more absence seizures. Everything seemed to be under control. Well, I had an MRI at Kaiser, and they said, yeah, we can see evidence of past brain damage. Well, no wonder. I've been hit by a truck. So, of course, the effects are going to be there. Well, okay. I can handle the effects because I can deal with them. So basically, today I'm taking the light dose of anti-seizure medication. I'm driving. I'm a chiropractor. And things are good. However, I'm 60 years old. Things were not always good. I went through a lot of stages. And I want to talk about some of those stages. I already talked about the one when I was in the hospital, and they were telling me, you can't do it. You can't do anything with your life but live here in a disabled state for the rest of your life. Well, I didn't like that choice. So I decided, the heck with that, I was going to do my own thing. I got out of the hospital, but then after I was out, that's when the swelling finally made its effects manifest. I didn't have seizures for 5 years following my accident. I was in school, in clinic, when I started getting these seizures. I started getting them all the time. Like, what is going on? I didn't even realize I was having these seizures at first. And certainly nobody else was there to tell me that's what was going on. I thought, okay, I'm out of the hospital. Everything's fine. Well, not quite. Because I had these seizures. And I had to find doctors, get studies, take medication, and deal with life. It was kind of unfortunate because I figured, oh, I'm out of the hospital now. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Well, not quite. I mean, I've had many patients in my practice, many patients who were in car accidents, who were brain injured, who are brain injured. And one of the common side effects that people feel, besides pain and the inability to sleep comfortably, one of the effects people experience is anxiety. Some people, whenever they got behind the wheel of their car following their accident, they had a minor panic attack because it was too much for them. Some people, when they went back to the spot where the accident had happened, they became very anxious and upset and went into a panic attack. This anxious state is very similar to the state that causes seizures. It's chemicals from the brain that don't know where to go, and they just flood the body, this fight or flight response that people don't know what to do with. This anxiety state can keep people awake, can keep people scared to death of going back to driving, can go back to where their accident happened, from going back to real life. But this anxiety does not have to be a part of your life. Does not have to be a part of anybody's life. That's the truly great thing about the kind of chiropractic that my husband and I do. He was also brain injured. We met in school. And he and I studied brain injuries and what happens. It turns out that by adjusting the top of the neck, the area immediately surrounding the brainstem, one can make a huge difference in the brain. And that difference can be anything. People often ask us, what can I expect after the adjustment? I don't know. What can you expect? We're talking about 500 million nerves or so coming out of the brain. Any one of them could be damaged. That's why we all have different symptoms. That's why we all experience things differently and express ourselves differently following an accident. But the new person will have certain traits in common with the old person. We don't radically change our personalities, just some aspects of our personality have a little more trouble than other aspects. And that's what I'm talking about. We don't become a new person, we just have trouble thinking, have trouble putting thoughts together, have epileptic seizures, have paralysis, have trouble sleeping, have a myriad of other effects. The point is that these effects are all traceable to the head injuries. And that's why I'm writing a book. Maybe someone will realize that's what is going on. Because sometimes people can't understand what is going on inside their head. They think it's something wrong with them. No, it's not something wrong with them. It's something wrong with the way they express themselves. And because of the way they express themselves, people think, oh, there's something wrong with this person. Have you ever noticed that? People look at you kind of funny. It's like, what's this person think they're doing? What do they think is going on? But often people can't see that. We don't realize how we're different. We just are. The diagnosis of a head injury, of a chronic traumatic state, is for the MDs and other professionals. It's not for the patient. It's not for the patient at all. Nobody pays any attention to the patient because how can you describe what's going on in somebody's mind? But you can describe what's going on so the medical doctors know what medication they need. Even though most medications you're going to take, you take are going to have side effects. That's effects that you don't want. And these effects that we don't want, we can't stop them from coming just because we don't want them. They're going to happen. That's why every drug talks about possible side effects. Because possible side effects means that maybe some people get them and some people don't. Just like the major effects of a drug. Some people get them and some people don't. Drugs work for some people. They do not work for other people. For example, my husband. His hair is gray now, but it used to be bright red. It turns out the red-headed people have slightly different genetics than the rest of us. Medication does not work on him. until it takes a huge dose. And of course, that can be dangerous because a huge dose can often kill you. So basically, when he had to have some surgery at Kaiser, he mentioned, "I used to be redheaded." So they knew right away, automatically give him 3 times the dose of any medication you'd give to someone normally. Then it might work. Well, looking at the list of what happened to him during that surgery, they have a page and a half just devoted to medications, how much they gave him, what kind, what type. Eventually, they found a group of medications that were able to work. And he was able to have the surgery. But if they hadn't known he was redheaded, they would have wondered why a normal dose of medication wasn't working. So it turns out there are a lot of factors that influence what works and what doesn't for each person. We all have natural proclivities, natural allergies. And, for example, I just look at medication and it works for me. I mean, I'm really lucky in that sense. However, I tried some seizure medications. I must have tried 8 or 10 in all. But some of them simply didn't do anything for me. Others of them seemed to help, but then when they checked my blood levels, it turned out it was causing all sorts of unexpected symptoms in my brain. Things I never felt, things I never knew happening. I had to get off that drug. That's why I was so happy to find something that actually worked. With the birth control, the Keppra medication, for me, worked 100%. I never again had a seizure once the medication synced in with my menstrual cycle. Now, it took 6 months or so for my hormonal cycle and the Depo-Provera cycle to sync in together. Then my seizures were able to stop. And the little dosage of seizure medication I took, I did need. I tried my own little experiment to not take it. Well, I could tell I was getting overly anxious, etc., etc. So I went back on it at that time. Well, this was while I still had my period. And with that little dose of seizure medication and the birth control, I was able to handle my seizures. Never got another one until I went through menopause, which helped a great deal. No more seizures, but then I started getting absent seizures later. Oh well, not everything's perfect, but I do lead a very charmed life because I'm able to have a real life following a major head trauma. I say have a real life. I mean, have a job, make money, and help other people. Now, if that's not what I'm supposed to be doing, well, you have to convince me of that, and I don't think you ever will. I think that I'm doing exactly what I was meant to be doing. And I'm helping other people at the same time. So I am living and working and existing just the way I should be. On the surface, things are wonderful. And these things are wonderful because I can conduct my own life. And no one's there getting in my way. No one's trying to stop me. And I'm conducting my own life, living how I want to live. And I'm able to do most things I want. I can't necessarily do everything expertly, but I can do things. For example, I'm taking piano lessons. I used to play the piano from the time I was about 8 or 9 years old to the time I was 16 years old. And I've gone back to taking piano lessons because it's just another way of expressing myself. And I'm perfectly happy doing that. My teacher, she's one of my best patients here. She and her husband come in frequently because they see the value in the work we do. They say, no other chiropractor ever found that. That's amazing. Well, most chiropractors don't look for actual brain damage, for brain disturbance. And most people have some kind of disturbance going on in the brain just from living our lives normally. There is some disruption. Maybe we see an isolated population, but it turns out whether people feel the symptoms or not, there's stuff going on. Different stuff to different degrees for different people. That's something we simply cannot escape from. Nor should we want to. It's very helpful and very educational to find out what is going on in our minds and what a simple adjustment can change forever. I talk about it in my book, but I'll talk about it here too. When we first started our practice in the 1990s, we were down in San Bernardino, Southern California. We had a patient, a little 10-year-old boy named George. When he was Mexican, his family didn't speak much English. We didn't speak much Spanish. However, there were some high school kids in the family who learned English in school. So they translated back and forth. Well, when we first saw him, we analyzed him, we figured out what, in fact, was going on. He had some clear brain damage that we might be able to affect. Well, we adjusted him. And he was kind of shocked, but that was that. When he came in, sorry about that noise, when he came into our office several years later, or several months later, or several weeks later, I'm sorry, my phone's ringing, I'm trying to turn it off because it's really bothering me here. Okay, now, I can get back to what I was saying. He came into our office, and he came in, I guess we told him to come in a week later. Well, his parents mentioned that he'd actually made some sounds during that week. Now, mind you, this boy was 10 years old, and he'd never spoken a word. He could not make a sound. But after our adjustment, we nudged something into the right place, and he started talking again. He'd never talked before, but all of a sudden he was talking. Not very well, because he'd never done it before, and he was 10 years old, but he actually told us thank you after a couple visits, because he knew we'd helped him. And that's the kind of thing chiropractic can do. We don't cure people. We help the body cure itself. The power that makes the body can heal the body. It's simply a matter of unleashing that power. That's what a chiropractor does. One of the old-timey chiropractors once told us, yeah, God does the healing. The chiropractor gets the money. We don't heal anything. But by nudging a nerve or a bone into the right place, we can make a difference. And that's what we live for. People like George, whose major difference is a radical change in their life. Or there's people who've had small changes, but just as meaningful to them. Because we've had changes in people that are meaningful to that person, our office is very highly ranked. I'm in the International Association of Top Professionals. My husband is in the Top Chiropractors Association. People realize that we help them. Our patients know we do them some good. But I like patients, some of my best experience are with patients who are not human. Patients which are animals. These animals, they can't speak and say, well, I need an adjustment right here because I'm not doing this correct. The animal can't begin to do that. But the animal knows, can tell somehow that something isn't right. I used to, around 1995 or so, I had some friends with a horse pen. I used to adjust those horses. The horses were so excited to see me. They loved me. They don't know, they couldn't tell you in words what I was doing. All I know is that it helped them. And my friend who owned these horses said she could see a difference. And it turns out chiropractors have been adjusting animals for as long as there's been chiropractic. One of the chiropractors who started this profession used to adjust the elephants at Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. They knew he needed them. They knew they needed him. And he adjusted them. And he kept himself in that job because he was helping them so much. It's kind of like sports chiropractors. Now, obviously, their patients, professional sports players, can talk and walk. But the chiropractor is part of the healthcare team because people know the chiropractor helps the team, helps the individual patients. And that's why professional sports teams have chiropractors. Because the chiropractor does some things nobody else can do. That's why we have specialized degrees and we are doctors. Because we can do specialized things. These specialized things may enhance the natural talents of the individual player. In that sense, those teams need the chiropractic doctor who helps them. So animals need us. Sports teams need us. Brain injured people need us. I just wish more people in the brain injured community knew about upper cervical chiropractic. A lot of people go to chiropractors and think, I've tried that, it doesn't work. Well, there's a specialty branch of chiropractic, upper cervical chiropractors. Those chiropractors are the ones you want to see, because those chiropractors are the ones who truly understand brain injuries and can do something about it. I mean, we can talk about medical doctors who can diagnose it, who often know exactly what's going on, but they don't have a treatment that works beyond seizure medication, which works sometimes, and other times it doesn't. And in that case, chiropractors, upper cervical chiropractors are needed. They're few and far between, but they can help what's going on with you in a way that nobody else can. And that's why I'm an upper cervical chiropractor. And that's why chiropractors know how to help these brain injuries. And because we can help these brain injuries, we can often stop the effects, stop the symptoms. Many people who practice Blair chiropractic, that was a technique we practiced for a while, Blair chiropractic, they are an upper cervical technique. A lot of Blair doctors adjust patients. And by adjusting patients in their brainstem, they can make lasting differences. Like many chiropractors, upper cervical chiropractors, stop seizures permanently, just like that. Or like we do in our office, stop the anxiety or make it so that someone can talk again or walk when they couldn't do that before. Everything that's valuable happens at the top of the neck. And the top of the neck is the key, because that's where all the nerves leave the brain to find the brainstem. And in doing so, by changing that part of the brain, you can permanently change that individual. many people are, not many people, but some people are born with things not wired right between their brain and their spinal cord. I'm an example of someone who wasn't. I never knew it until I went to see a chiropractor following my brain injury. But I did, and I found this out, and that's why I never had any balance as a kid. That's why my eyes never worked right. All of a sudden, a lot of things became understandable. So basically, I want to give a shout out to this website that talks about upper cervical spine. And you can find on that website an upper cervical doctor around you. The upper cervical doctors can be of any form, but they all concentrate on that area. Each practitioner does it differently, but in concentrating on that area, a difference can be made. The site is www.upcspine.org. That's upcspine.org. Getting onto that site will allow you to find what these doctors are, where these doctors are, what they can do for you, and any questions. If you want to get in touch with me, my email is drdim, D-R-D-I-M, at comcast.net. I'm certainly willing to help people who have upper cervical issues following an accident. Or maybe not even an accident that they know about. I mean, it's funny. We have a lot of patients come into our office. We kind of look at their initial signs, some tests we run, and it's like, I ask them, have you ever had a head injury before? They'll say no. So have you ever been in a car accident before? They'll say no. Well, then they come back. They keep coming in because they can see we help them. But maybe a month or two later, they'll mention, you know, I was in an accident when I was a child. I never really thought about it because I was fine. No, they weren't fine. That's what their problem stems from. I mean, these issues build on themselves. People don't just have one problem. People have many problems. And all those problems are a result of an initial trauma, whether a brain injury, whether a difficult birth, whether an accident, whether a fall, whether physical abuse. People can get their brains messed up in all sorts of ways. And it's like trying to fix a glass vase. Once it's broken, it's broken. You can glue it back together and make it work the way it's supposed to, but it will always be broken. The same with a brain injury. I know a lot of people don't necessarily want to hear that, but once things are broken, they're broken. They can be made better. That's what we as chiropractors do. Make everything around it work properly. So the pathway can find new ways of doing things. Not the old ways, not repairing the old ways, but allowing the brain to find new ways. And these new ways are what allows us to improve our function following an injury. I said I resemble a drunk person, but I still do balance exercises at the gym. And I can see they're helping me. I mean, now it turns out my right and left sides can do about the same things. Initially, when I assessed that, they couldn't. My right side was nowhere near as strong as my left. I used to do things in the middle with both hands. Then I tried practicing on one side or practicing on the other as I got more interested in these balance techniques. Well, it turned out my two sides functioned very differently. That was about 5-10 years ago. Now, they're pretty much equal. Now, things work the same on both sides, so I'm a lot more stable, a lot more able to do things. I still can't write as fast as I like, but I'll give that up so that I can help other people, because that's exactly what I'm doing. I don't have any choice. I am helping other people that did have to give certain things up. But that doesn't mean that my life is over or I'm forever disabled. Now, if anyone wants to say anything specific, please call into the show, 424-243-9540. Admittedly, that's calling in while I'm doing the show. I know a lot of people listen later because it's not necessarily a reasonable time back east. It's late at night back east. Here on the west coast, it's not a problem. It's a little after 8 o'clock, so I can handle this. But I just want to say that there's always room for improvement. Maybe you can't change the basic structure, but if you improve enough of the parts surrounding it, it will get better. New pathways will develop, and with practice, they will get used, and function again is possible following an accident, following a trauma. And that is what's important. Not how many patients did I see last week, but how many patients did I see whose lives were changed as a result of seeing me. Some people realize this and come in to our office monthly. We have about a couple handfuls of monthly patients who come in to just get everything put back in order. After all, if you have a valuable car, you're going to get maintenance on it to make sure it stays valuable and works the way it should. That's what we're doing for these people. We're allowing the body to heal itself. But the body can get sidetracked very easily and doesn't know it can heal itself. And we have to remind it that it can heal itself. And we show it the way to heal itself. And the body remembers. And in many people, gets to the point where it continues to heal itself throughout the rest of their lives. some patients we had years ago. Maybe they'll come once or twice a year. Other than that, their body is working just the way it should. I won't say perfectly because nothing works perfectly. But the body works the way it should. And the body can do what the body wants to do. If a person wants to do something and is now able to do it because of coming in here, that's a success. That's what we want. And while I get my act together a little bit, I'm going to play a song. I'll be back on, but I'm going to play a song in the meantime. The song is by Purple Planet, a group made up of head injury supporters. And I'm going to play that song right now, and then I'll come back on. Hello. Following our peaceful interlude, I want to talk about some things that we experience after brain trauma that are not necessarily physical. Obviously, that's the realm I know about since I'm a chiropractor. But there are mental and psychological realms. I mean, chiropractic, the definition is that there are three types of trauma: chemical trauma, psychological trauma, and physical trauma. Well, chiropractors were trained to deal with physical trauma. Doesn't mean the other two don't exist. Because I do not work on them, does not mean that may not be the main thing going on with somebody. Medications people take are there to help the chemical problems with a person, imbalances within their system, side effects of another drug they're taking. Problem medications for a specific problem that a person is born with, a genetic disease. There are purposes for chemical intervention, or they're psychological. People come into my office quite often and ask me, I've been under a lot of stress this week. Do you think that's affecting my state? Absolutely. Stress has tremendous impact on what's going on in the brain. If you're under stress, it's hard to calm down and think quietly. People are supposed to have two states, an alarm state and a rest state. If those states aren't distributed equally, the person's in a lot of trouble. That's what psychologists are for. And then, of course, there are chiropractors. We deal with the physical body. There are a lot of other people who deal with the physical body, too. Massage therapists, physical therapists. No one deals with it quite the way we do, because we're doctors, we understand certain things, but a lot of people deal with the physical state, because people realize they have to live in their physical bodies. And because they're living in their physical bodies, everything that happens to that body is going to affect a person. You can't very well live totally detached from your body. Some people may have tried for a time in a chamber or due to certain physiological circumstances, but we all have a body that we're attached to. And this body determines what's going on with us and how it's going on, and can be impacted with a physical adjustment. And I'm not here to preach chiropractic and everyone should see one. I just want to say, if you're brain injured and you haven't had your brain stem assessed, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. Because you might be missing the chance for the information in the brain to get to the body. That's why people can learn to walk again following a stroke. The information in the brain gets to the body. Admittedly, there may be other ways of doing it than the way I'm most comfortable with. Often medication alone can do it, but I personally do not think it does the whole 100% correction. I recommend everyone see an upper cervical chiropractor. That's my little push it pitch, and I'm going to shut up about getting everyone to a chiropractor right now. I just want to go back to these changes that we all experience. Because sometimes we know that we do something and it's like, that's not me. I would never do something like that. Yet it was you, and you just did it. So there's some reason for that. And you just did it, so it's done. And it's going to have consequences. That's why that we don't always know what's going to happen. Because as I've said before in this podcast, things don't happen in isolation. Everything is related to something else. So I just want people to remember that we're all part of something bigger. Whether it's within ourselves or whether it's within the world. In both cases, we are not the individual control of everything in our life. Sure, we'd like to be. Sure, it would be nice to be. But that's not the way the world works. So this is just to give everyone some encouragement that you can do it. That's what my book is for. That's what I'm here for. To show people that, yes, there is a way to do it. It might not be the same way you did before, but there is a way. There's always a way, just a matter of being connected to that way. So I'm going to end my podcast on that note, by saying that there's always a way to help improve things. It won't make things perfect. It won't make you uninjured again. But things can be improved. And I want to help you improve them. Whether through my book, through my work, through what I'm saying right now, I want people to know there's help out there. And I want people to get in touch with that help. By getting in touch with that help, anything becomes possible. And who doesn't want anything to be possible? I'm going to end with another song by another supporter of Brain Injury Radio, Kevin MacLeod, with the song Ripples. Thank you. Good night, all my listeners. Have a pleasant evening and a great rest of the week and rest of the year, and I'll see you all later. Goodbye.